Okay. Morning, guys. It's all right. It's weird to be up here and not be starting with the little song and dance about why we're here and we've been doing this for 38 years and all of that. But it's great to see everyone this morning. This is, you know, Jeff Shaw. I'm going to thank you again, even though I didn't get to do the MC duties. Thank you for 1277. Thank you for making this happen. Oh, gosh. What's the date? Anyone have it? 21st. Brace yourselves. Thanksgiving's next week. Christmas is a few weeks after that. Gentlemen, we are entering perfect family season. Whether it's social media, a Christmas card, or anywhere you go, we're all going to get bombarded with how perfect everyone else's family is. So maybe we just resist the temptation to return the favor, and let's be real. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be all about here. For the last several months, as Mark said, we've been cruising through a series called Foolproof. And it's a trip through Proverbs, through the musings of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. And the more I've thought about that, I just can't imagine what it was like to be the tombstone next to Solomon's. Here lies King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Here lies Bobby. He liked to eat Waffle House. I graduated from Marist just a few years ago, just up the road from where we are this morning, and one of our notable alums is named Brett Baer. And he reads the news every evening on Fox, and I'm sure nobody here watches that channel, but I assure you, he's there. Brett is married to Amy, and they have two boys, Daniel and Paul. And Paul was born with his little bitty baby heart plumbed backwards. Literally, the blood flowed through his heart backwards. There were two holes in this little heart. He had three additional congenital heart defects. Paul was also born in a hospital in Washington, D.C. that was home to the only doctor on planet Earth that has ever solved that riddle of human anatomy. So he was born and immediately on the delivery table had open heart surgery. And every few days, then every few weeks, then every few months, for the rest of his life, he would go back to the hospital and Paul would have open heart surgery to slowly correct a heart that was turned inside out and full of holes. When he was six, he looked out the window as he was packing a bag to go back for another heart surgery, saw his brother playing with the kids in the neighborhood, doing things he couldn't do. And he looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, I'm going to be president." Okay, you're six, ambitious, why not? Tell me why, son. He said, "Well, why else would God put me through all of this? He has to know that I'm ready." Watch Brett Baer try and tell that story with a straight face. It's absolutely impossible. By the way, Paul is now 12. He has undergone a transplant. He hasn't had surgery in a few years. And in a few decades, he has my vote, and I don't even care about his politics because I'm certain that he's ready. So today, we're in Proverbs 20, and we're going to keep it really, really simple. Last time, I think I stitched together seven different verses, and everybody laughed when I said I was going to do it. Verses 4 and 17 say, "Sluggards do not plow in season, so at the harvest time, they look but find nothing. Food gained by fraud tastes sweet, but one ends up with a mouth full of gravel." Now, on the face of what I'm about to say to you, you are going to think this is the exact opposite of the angel that came to the shepherds and the wise men at the first Christmas. He said, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news." And I'm here this morning to say, if life is hard, good, it's supposed to be. At every corner of every turn, everywhere we go in modern life, we're inundated with messages that tell us that we must seek comfort, leisure, security, and ease. There is nothing at all biblical about this. If your life is really easy, you aren't doing it right. When we signed up to follow Jesus, when we affirmed to our Creator that we were his. We signed up for hard. We pledged our very lives to follow in the footsteps of the man that never, ever, ever took the easy way out. Because what are the consequences of the life of a Christian man? It's eternity. It is eternity with our Creator. For all that we love, all that we lead, and everyone that we're going to encounter along the way. Make no mistake, we're not here to earn our salvation. That's absolutely freely given. But our God demands, out of love for Him, out of obedience for Him, that we will plow our fields and earn our meals, as the proverb said this morning. I know we have a number, quite a few veterans among us on here in the room, and I want to thank you for serving. I want to thank you for saying yes. My own grandfather served in the United States Marine Corps in World War II, and they don't make Marines at Club Med. They make Marines on Paris Island because Iwo Jima is next. Am I right, Colin? Thank you, sir. Similarly, when the fully divine Son of the Creator came to walk the earth, fully man, He pulled absolutely no punches as He prepared a group of His flawed and weak followers to facilitate a global movement that was going to beget an entirely new relationship between man and God. He was going to personify grace with a capital G. Remember Matthew's account of a terrifying storm in the Sea of Galilee in chapter 11. Jesus wakes up from a nap, which should have been everyone's only clue that things were going to be fine. The boss is sleeping, guys. But he got up and he calmed the storm. And a few weeks later, as if to further rebuke the weak faith of these followers, he walked right across a lake. I'm always the butt of my own jokes up here, so let's make the real-life example me. Let's make a quick list. The first time I spoke to you guys, I was telling you about the aftermath of my parents being hit by a dump truck. Shortly thereafter, with my wife pregnant with our second child, we're living in a corporate apartment a few feet from a Norfolk Southern switching yard with a two-year-old. We were managing a home renovation that was completely out of control. My wife fainted at work, fell flat on her face, was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance, hit our insurance deductible on January 3rd. A few weeks later, she tripped and fell and broke her leg. I was in the middle of a job change. My dad slipped and fell in the bathroom, went back to the ICU. Down the road, my family would deal with repeated mental health issues. Just recently, we were dealing with back and hip issues for my wife for a surgery that was canceled last Friday at the 11th hour. And oh yeah, I recently fell off the roof of our house. Each of us, our marriage, everything would be bent, cracked, stretched, but never broken. The leg healed. The house keeps the rain out. The kids are great. Mom and dad are healthy. And I bounced. There wasn't a single easy step along the way, but they were the steps that God laid before us. Verse 24 of the proverb we're looking at this morning says, "A person's steps are directed by the Lord. How can anyone understand their own way?" And everyone in this room, as I made that list, you made your own. I'm not special. Most of you could stand up and say, "Hey, rookie, let me tell you about life." For some reason, we look around and we believe that every turn of the plow that we drag through life is solitary. It is unique, but it is not. That is why a place like this, that is why men like this exist. We want to drag our plows faster and further and deeper. We want our earthly and our eternal harvests to be bountiful. And knowing that we've signed up for toil, never forget who takes every single step with us. Matthew 11, Jesus tells his followers, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So looking at our daily lives, what is the right brand of struggle? How do we prepare ourselves for trials along the way? And what do we do when they're just too much? Looking at all of my agrarian analogies this morning, I think it's pretty simple. The right kind of struggle will bear fruit. Maybe not now, but it will bear fruit one day. In preparing yourself to greet each challenge with a greater aptitude and a wider smile, I really strongly suggest that you find regular, regimented struggle on your own terms. We really have to do hard things by choice so that we're ready for the pain that we don't choose. Demand of yourself that you pray and read the Word in such a way that you are demonstrably growing. Bobby, top left corner, I'm talking to you. I've got to do better at this. For a lot of you guys, if you're like me, our choice of voluntary discomfort is some form of exercise. So the next time you lace up your shoes or pick up the weights, really, really, really embrace the suck. Because that is growing a whole lot more than just your physical muscles. That is an opportunity to feel and embrace some discomfort and realize that you're going to be okay. Finally, never, ever, ever forget what we said to God our Father when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's in my notes in all caps. I can't do this alone. The fully human, fully divine Savior of all. Jesus himself found times in his life when there was just too much life happening to him. And he went to his Father in prayer for help, and so should we. Additionally, we are all fully human and fully not divine, so we may need a little more help along the way. The most biblical Christian, confident and humble thing that a man can do is to hold his hand up and recognize that life is just too much and to ask for help. I have buried 5 friends by their own hand. I don't ever want to do it again. 1 was way too many. I don't want anyone hearing this morning to get the picture that their lot in life is some brand of solitary suffering under a crushing burden. We're talking about embracing a blessed burden and training to carry more and produce more and to work harder. When times are just too tough, be a man and ask for help. Right now, you can text HOME to 741741. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. On the other side of that is a certified crisis counselor. This is the 2020 version of the old suicide hotline. But whatever it is in life that is just too much, you don't even have to talk. You can just send a text message. So the goal at the end of our lives, as we paint that picture, is not a life of ease and leisure. The goal of a Christian man is for life to be hard on our terms, on God's terms, and for his purpose. So let's stop trying to make it easy, and let's leave here being okay that it's going to be hard. So that's all I got. Let's bow our heads, let's have some prayer, and y'all can get down to the real work at your tables. Loving God, by our fallen nature, we just want things to be easy. Instead, make us men who pursue exceptionalism in gratitude to you. Make our ambition always your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.